do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you ain't bad! You ain't nothing! You ain't nothing!
Wow, now nobody can hear.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Yes. Welcome to Geek Watch 1. Oh, Vicky's distracting us again. What is he doing? Oh.
The cat just took a dump in a lizard's tank, and the lizard's looking over like,
there's a bearded dragon. And yeah, she found a meme of a bearded dragon.
And that's the quality program you come to Geek Watch 1 for.
That's right. So how are you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, less than a minute in, and we're already derailed.
Yep. That's it.
That's the quality of entertainment you get from Geek Watch 1.
Yeah. What you come here for?
Oh. So, we're all hanging out and relaxing, but Miss Dawn, you just got back from another trip.
Yeah.
You go on vacation every month now.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Vacations. This was an actual vacation. It was nice. I didn't actually have to do anything. All the other trips, I'm like clearing out a house or something and moving furniture and crap.
True.
Yeah. So, but at least this time it looks like you actually got to do some geeky stuff too on the vacation.
I did. There was like such a plan in place for this. I was like, I'd never been to Wisconsin or Minnesota before. So I went in the middle of winter to Wisconsin and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The frozen tundra, like serious frozen north. Like this is further north than where I'm from in Canada, people.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you go to somewhere in the U.S. that's colder than Canada.
Yes, it's further north than where I'm from. So anyway, it wasn't bad. I mean, you know, we're either inside or in the truck most of the time, so I wasn't dealing with the snow. But yeah, we had a great time. We went to a few museums, like the, Minneapolis Art Institute and the Minnesota History Center, and of course went to the Mall of America because, oh my God.
Is it still full? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or is it like a lot of the other malls that
no,
are starting to die?
It's still a full active mall. Like, I don't think there was one empty storefront.
Wow.
Like, it was, and this place is three levels. It takes you, if you were just straight walking around a level, it takes you about 15 minutes to go around a level just to walk.
Well, you gotta remember, this is a mall with an amusement park inside.
Yes, in the middle of the mall, there is a full amusement park, roller coasters, everything. I mean, it used to be where a baseball stadium was located, so that gives you a sense of the size.
Yeah.
That's where the Twins used to play. And if you actually, one of the sports geeky things you can do is if you go into the amusement park, they actually have a plaque on the ground where home plate used to be.
Ah, okay.
And they also have another plaque you can find where the 50-yard line used to be because the Vikings used to play in the same stadium. So it's just kind of a cool little factoid if you ever go to Mall of America. The mall is so big, it actually has multiple locations of the same store on different levels because you never know. Someone might just want to do one level. And there's also an aquarium in the basement, which we went to.
Cool. So was there any stores there that you've not seen in years that you thought didn't exist anymore?
No, I wouldn't say
there's
so.
There's certain stores that like were just small stores. It's all they've ever.
No, this is... It had pretty standard stores. It had some that were Minnesota-specific that were very touristy kind of thing, but...
Well, since that's one of the biggest tourist attractions of Minnesota.
It was actually kind of nice that it had little tourist stores where you could buy magnets and t-shirts and stuff because a lot of places don't have that and it's hard to find if you're visiting just to buy a magnet or something. But yeah, so it was quite an experience. It is an experience just to go there, really. It's an experience. So yeah, I did that and some of the stuff in the museums was cool. There was at the History Center, they actually had this music display, one of their temporary displays. There used to be a really famous club in the area, so they had kind of like the history of that nightclub, but they also had some Prince stuff on display.
Did Prince play there?
And it was it was called Prince Before the Rain, I think. So it was kind of like his development in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. Like they really are Prince people there. They love Prince.
So did they take somewhere and actually write down all the songs that he ever wrote? don't think that you
could. No, I don't think they did that.
There's not enough wall space.
There's probably a history imprint somewhere like that. But no, they had a lot of photos, like a lot of early photos and performance photos. They even had they had the suit that he wore in Purple Rain, the white with the frills in front, the little purple jacket. This man was tiny. Oh my god!
He wore heels all the time.
Seeing that, I mean, and it wasn't just short. I mean, tiny. Like he was a stick. He was maybe a foot wide. Like
him and Lil Sweet really are about the same
yes,
size.
Yes, Lil Sweet is realistically based on Prince. In Dr. Pepper commercials.
Yeah, Lil Sweet and the Dr. Pepper commercials is not being shrunk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Basically, Prince right there. So that was kind of cool to see that, and I saw. We went up to Alexandria, Minnesota, which is way farther north, and that's where it's known as the birthplace of America because that's where inland the Vikings may have first gone, and they found a rune stone at one of the farms nearby that's been controversial over time because, of course, people didn't believe at first that it was a Viking runestone, and it was essentially a diary entry saying, we stopped here, and we had this number of people, and this is what we're discovering. Yeah. And they have a whole museum to it. So we went to the museum, and the runestone is actually there. It's a couple feet long and about a foot wide, really heavy thing, and you can see all the carvings and stuff. So it's got the whole history of the discovery of it and Vikings in the area and that. So
I've never actually done any looking on it, but I think part of the reason that people for so long didn't realize Vikings had come here is because when the Vikings did come here, they actually didn't come here to explore or to conquer. They came to raid and go home.
Yeah.
And they didn't call it a new land. It was just somewhere else that they were raiding. Right. They have no idea what
it was. More exploring than raiding.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just more exploring. Trying to figure out what was there. And that's basically a lot of what the runestone actually says. It just says things like, you know, this is the area and this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And
the rest of the Europeans came here to actually settle here.
Yeah.
That's because they were dumb and didn't realize there was anybody even living here.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool. Got to see an actual, you know, Viking artifacts and stuff. And there's, much like the Cleveland area, there's a lot of microbreweries around, so we may have visited a couple of those.
You find a lot of those in the north. Almost like it gets cold and everybody just wants to have a
beer. Everyone wants beer, exactly.
But with the stone, getting back to that, do they have like a date where they that it was made? They have an idea?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, 13-something.
So it was way before Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was absolutely before Columbus. That's why.
That's the one thing that is not conflicted and not people don't argue is how long ago the Vikings were moving.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Vikings were before Columbus for sure.
Vikings before everybody.
But yeah, and I did get to try some beers that were Minnesota only and some Wisconsin only.
You don't like beer.
I don't, but there were some strong ones, so I was good. if they're dark, I'll try it. I don't like the IPA crap, so.
So you need to come to the breweries with Vicky, and Vicky will hook you up and show you the good ones.
Yeah. I don't purposely go to breweries.
Yeah. She likes the dark ones also.
I like the ones because anymore you can take them to go.
Yeah. That's when we got a couple places when we went to the microbreweries. We got like the little, they don't call them growlers.
The ones crawlers. Small
crawlers.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah. And I tried some local snacks. There were some local like chocolate bars that you can't get anywhere else. And there's a particular brand of basically cheese puffs. They're like Cheetos, but they're very local and they taste different. They were awesome.
Yes. Yes.
I bought some things home for Kylan to try. So yeah, I had to do that kind of dorky thing of trying different foods while I was there.
That's awesome though.
That's okay though. Some of the foods in the Wisconsin, Minnesota, I don't want to try because they have a lot of like the Scandinavian type stuff.
I didn't visit with anyone who was doing home cooked stuff. I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, lutefisk. I didn't try the lutefisk.
I didn't have to do
anything
that
you have to rot and lie and then wash it 17 times before you can eat it.
Anything that has the word rot in it before you cook it. So it was interesting. No. And let me tell you, the Minneapolis airport is horrendous.
Yes, we have been there.
That's the worst airport ever. Get it. When I was coming home, it wasn't bad because I got in. I knew what concourse and gate to go to. But when you first arrive, if you've never been there before, there's no exit sign. You have to know what concourse to go to get to the proper gate, to get to the door, to get to the exit, oh my god. I've been to big airports, but this one was ridiculous.
First time we went to Montana, we had a stop over there. It was like, what, 45 minutes, I think, at the most?
Not even that.
But we had to switch from one concourse to the next one over.
Uh-huh.
And there wasn't there was not physically enough time to get from our plane to the next one. The sky cab guy goes by, where are you going? It's like, will not get there. Get on.
We're running because the one on there, because we were behind because we were having issues in billing, so we were like an hour late. Once we land, we had to run, and she'd go into the attendant was going through, okay, you guys gotta go from here to here, you know, and she's like, it's just like, right here. No.
Yeah. It's like, they know what they're doing, sure, but if you've never been.
Yeah.
So he's carrying the bags and running. We're running.
Yeah, I mean, like, this airport, sections of it are so long, it has the moving elevators, and not just one, like, moving the sidewalks.
Yeah.
You know, and not just one. They're connected. There's four or five of them down one hallway. And there's trains. You can actually catch a train from one concourse to another.
Atlanta, I think, has those, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So let me tell you, people, give yourself plenty of time if you're going to the Minneapolis airport.
We didn't have a choice. It was the way they routed us.
No. I mean, for that, yeah. But sucked. I mean, even for me just getting there and trying to figure my way out, I couldn't find how to get out of the damn place.
That's right. I like Akron.
Yeah, the Akron airport's nice. And
Salt Lake was nice, too.
Yeah, you've got one section with gates. As soon as you leave, there's doors to go out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was an interesting experience, and it was a lot of fun, and it was relaxing, and that was what I needed, so.
Cool.
That was a good trip.
And as you guys can hear, Wizard World was in Cleveland this weekend, but none of us actually got a chance to make it there this year.
None of us were stupid enough with all the virus going around to go in a big crowd like that.
Oh, that's
okay. But for some reason, Cleveland still held it.
Yeah. That's weird. I heard they actually did some stuff, because the Arnold Classic was in Columbus this weekend, which is a big bodybuilding and weightlifting convention in in Columbus. I guess they shut down a bunch of that stuff.
Well, shut it down to spectators and vendors. Mm-hmm. All they had was the competition with the competitors and the judges.
Wow.
Because really, you have to do globally because of all the rankings and everything like that. So they kind of had to keep doing that. But basically, yeah, there were no spectators. They essentially shut it down as a private viewing almost.
Now, I heard, I don't know if it was a rumor or real, but did they actually cancel South by Southwest or postpone it?
They canceled South by Southwest.
Well, and the funny thing is, we've only had a handful of cases in America. But then again, a lot of these are international people.
We've only
in.
Had a handful of testing in America.
Well,
this is a bigger problem.
I mean,
but the whole point is that they're telling people not to engage in a large crowd activity. That's the biggest problem. So
I think Emerald City is canceled now.
Emerald City, they canceled.
Wow.
And that's a week and a half, 2 weeks. It would have been 2 weeks from now. They postponed it. They said they're going to try and do it in the summer.
Right.
If things clear up. But, I mean, Emerald City is Seattle. Seattle has had deaths.
Yes.
Right.
There's a good reason.
Well, I see, because WonderCon's coming up in a couple weeks also, I believe.
Right.
So that one would probably get postponed or moved back too.
And the other thing is, it's not just the fact of where they're located. It's the fact of who's canceling. They had a lot. DC pulled out of Emerald City. Dark Horse pulled out of it. A lot of like major publishers pulled out, and then you had writers and artists pulling out as well. They were like, "No, we're not going."
Yeah, I'm not taking a chance.
Especially in Seattle.
I mean, I think just businesses in general now have. I know my company has cut out any non-essential travel.
Mm-hmm. So is my firm. I mean, my firm has offices worldwide, they've been canceling. Events that, I mean, even for International Women's Day, they were supposed to have events this past week, they canceled them. They've been canceling a lot of non-essential travel. We usually have a big partner meeting once a year, and that's already being tentatively postponed. They're saying don't book your travel for it yet until you hear from us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's affecting everyone.
That's also
really that's mine.
Yeah.
My work.
Well, yours is global too.
My the upper is not my, because I'm a contractor. We don't mind. It was the actual upper accountant for Goodyear came around on Friday, came around and got all of our personal information.
Yep.
I mean, my company has it, but they don't got it. And I made the comment, oh, unless there's a power outage. And she's like, no, more like the coronavirus. And I'm like,
That way they could call you and tell you don't come into work or something.
We have an emergency where the, you know, an automated, it calls us.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, would be like, oh my God, great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but our HR department's been checking with all of our different teams with, you know, what would it take for you guys to be able to work from home?
Yeah.
You know, so.
See, mine, you can't. But then again, we've got, like, 10 employees.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but you,
and we're also not
also
a nation or a global company.
You're also a fabrication sort of company, so that's an issue on its own.
our biggest problem is making sure that our suppliers are still supplying.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
We've only got we get a couple things out of China, but that stuff that we can get from the U.S., it just costs more.
Right.
Right.
And that's what people don't realize. Stuff is going to be costing more because a lot of places in China temporarily shut down.
With just artists.
Yep.
It's getting more expensive for them to get supplies.
Yep.
Get even just shipping.
Well, yeah, because so much of the stuff is China-made.
Gaming companies get a ton of their stuff out of China. Mm-hmm. And they're getting affected.
To get all the plastic parts.
And yeah, toy companies, they're concerned.
That was
like the toys for the child.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
all this stuff.
I'm surprised the geeks have not revolted.
Oh, yeah.
No, because there's going to be a delay in delivering child
Wookie Radio. Wookie Radio, we did an interview with Casey from the Bitty Boomers, which are these little, like 4-inch Bluetooth speakers.
Yep.
And they have a brand new one they showed at Toy Fair that is supposed to be, they're supposed to have right now of the child. But it's sitting on a ship in L.A.
Yep.
It's not been unloaded yet because the port of L.A. is just about shut down right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Or get rerouted to other ports depending on what it is.
Yeah, I've noticed another thing that a lot of companies are dealing with, I've noticed we're getting a lot larger quantities of stuff coming in right now because our office manager is actually ordering extra, knowing that later we can't get it.
Exactly.
Right. So we're having to inventory a larger amount.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And right now, I mean, it's really, for the most part, precautionary, thankfully. Yeah. But it's better safe than sorry sort of thing. So.
And what it is, by the time this escalates to the full size here in the spring, it, like Vicky keeps pointing out, it's probably going to die down in the summer. But everybody's going to then start to forget about it when the cold weather comes through again. And then possibly get the flare-up again.
I mean, the
major... Because that's the way most viruses work.
The major influenza plague killed more people when it came back the following fall than it had initially.
Because everybody thought it was over.
Yeah, the second wave got...
And I mean, really, this is not something that's getting killed by warm weather, regardless of what the Cheeto might want you to think, because... Yeah. It's in places that already have warm weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a good argument to make.
No, so.
So, we'll have to see how it works.
Don't overbuy the masks. Let healthcare workers have them.
Yeah.
And just wash your damn hands, people.
And that's the biggest thing is actually,
why have people not been washing their hands until now?
Everybody else hasn't, or, the official channels aren't always saying it, but it's like, the biggest way to fight this is just good personal hygiene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wash your hands.
It's just
that type of stuff.
You know, don't be around too many people.
Which also scares me this summer. Because we've discussed this.
Yeah, doing art shows.
What about all the art shows? Because I have other...
I told Kylan, for me, this is the year of no cons. I don't care. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. I had a staff. I told him, I said, because with all of us, we're on the cusp of that age where, you know, it could go either which way of getting it.
Yeah.
So, and actually, the interesting thing is going to be Andy's got to honestly look at with the oddmalls. Is he going to keep going? Is he going to have to be on
the because if it's keeping up around the fall with Con on the Cob,
Con on the Cob, we have some time to find out.
Geeks have very bad hygiene habits.
Sometimes
about 50% of geeks have very bad hygiene habits, especially if they're gamers. And if you've ever been to a gaming con, you know this is true.
Well, I think what Andy needs to do is remember the one year he did the hand sanitizer. I put his stickers on him. He needs to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely needs to do that again.
If you can find it, because evidently Amazon's sold out.
Well, yeah, a lot of online places are limiting the amount of hand sanitizers and stuff you can order and get from them because their stores have them in stock.
Yeah,
and people are running out at warehouse level.
The nice thing with here is Purell that everybody knows is made by Gojo. Which is
which
right
is here
in Akron,
right?
We can all storm Gojo if we need to.
Well, no, they've already said that Acme is a local grocery chain here in Akron. They already have Gojo's already working with them. And said they will Acme will not run out of hand sanitizer.
There you go.
It's just a deal that they worked with Gojo since they're so
local. FYI, two parts rubbing alcohol and one part aloe vera gel makes your own hand sanitizer.
You don't need the aloe vera. That just helps you
dry it out. Yeah, you can do just straight alcohol, but it's not a good idea.
If needed, I work in a company that mixes chemicals. I have drums of isopropyl alcohol, which
is
rubbing
alcohol.
You can
take showers in alcohol if you want. It's not recommended.
Or baby wipes. You know, the usual.
But I will tell you, I discovered this because I was getting sick of singing Happy Birthday twice. Because you're supposed to wash your hands for 20 seconds. Singing the Happy Birthday song twice through is 20 seconds. Also, if you know the words, singing the DuckTales theme song to the first woohoo is 20 seconds. Just letting you know that if you're getting sick of Happy Birthday.
So, someone
pick
needs
your
to
own
with,
song.
That's I heard there's actually a toothbrush company that I think it's Quip or something that actually their toothbrushes have a certain vibration that actually is a timer.
Yep.
That when it changes the vibrations, you're done brushing your teeth. They need to come up with something like washing hands.
Look for short videos on YouTube and just click play as you start washing your hands. Like, just do that.
And it's like, this isn't something to panic about. It's just wash your hands
and
take care of stuff. Yeah.
Don't touch your face. Keep your hands off your face.
Now, if you have something where your immune system's already compromised, yes, you got to do a lot more. But if you're just
a
normal person that deals with the sicknesses normally, just wash your hands, man. It's the big one.
Exactly.
So
that's our PSA for the week.
Now that we spent 15 minutes on the virus.
Hey, everyone else is spending hours on it. Hey, so there we go. True.
Viral outbreak stories are a geek thing.
Hey,
how many movies have we had?
We're all viral.
If you've ever played Pandemic,
exactly.
This makes you like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now is not the time to watch viral outbreak movies. Just don't do it.
Don't.
You know, the coronavirus is the start of the zombie apocalypse.
Exactly.
Yeah, by the way, don't watch any zombie movies because that's what happens too.
Uh-huh.
Yep, everyone gets sick, it spreads worldwide, and everyone dies.
That's right.
That's all you need to know. Everyone dies.
Mm-hmm.
See, as of right now, we've not heard about it, but that doesn't mean that the people that have passed from this haven't started coming back yet.
There you go. That's the news that they're hiding.
That's why they're burning all the bodies.
That's right.
Exactly. Burning the bodies.
So, you got to chop them up and then burn them, because the zombies, sometimes you burn them, they still come back.
That's true. They will come back. You have to destroy that brain.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, before we get into what else is going on in the rest of the world, if there's anything other than this.
There's some things.
They tend to. It's almost basically a blunder.
Yeah.
You want to get the truth.
Yeah. So, but... If you want to know about this or anything else we've talked about or anything involving GeekWatch 1 at all, if we do show up somewhere outside of here, which may not happen this year, I don't know, go to GeekWatch1.com. There you'll find all of our episodes, all of our friends that you've heard on the show or that we want to let you know about. Also, we have a sponsors page on there. Check that out.
We do.
And it doesn't cost you anything. Just click on that if you want to go get your comic books or you want to get your collectibles. We have, Entertainment Earth's on there, isn't it?
Yeah, and Things from Another World, which is a great place for comics.
Anything geeky that you want to buy is on one of those sites.
Yes. And, of course, we should mention Charlie Murphy.
Yes, and I was getting around to that, too.
I know you are.
Our buddy at Stray Dog. Now, wash your hands and go into Stray Dog, because they have some awesome food. And you can even soon...
And great hygiene.
That's right, yes. But soon, you can actually go to the grocery store to find Stray Dog.
You will be able to.
He is definitely still working on that, especially when we talked about Acme. Acme's gonna, I think, either has some of the stuff now or will soon.
Acme is our local chain, by the way, in case you've never heard of an Acme and think we're talking about Wile E. Coyote's favorite company.
That's what I always thought was funny. I always thought that was funny, because it's like, the Acme Corporation is everywhere, but we got the food side of it.
It's a local grocery chain, that's great, and so once that gets out, we're gonna, you know, try and find it in our local place and snap some pictures and let you guys know about it, and if you're local, you can buy some.
And you can get the Akron pickle from Charlie and his sauerkraut balls, and you can put the Akron pickle in your mouth.
His balls and his pickles in your mouth.
That's right. So check that out. Stray Dog.
Balls, pickles, and wieners all in your mouth.
Search Stray Dog Akron, and you'll find Charlie, and you'll get all the information.
I usually
for
put a link in our notes, by the way, so there's usually a Stray Dog Cafe link, and that'll lead you all sorts of places.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, Miss Dawn, what else is happening in the world? There's been weird stuff all over the place the last couple of weeks.
I've tried to stay away from most of it. I did have, one of my stories was that Emerald City Con was postponed. The one thing we didn't mention when talking about that was the fact that Emerald City is giving a full refund to anyone who's bought tickets, which should happen in about 30 days, considering the number of people they have to deal with. Give them a little time. But you apparently don't even have to do anything. They have record, obviously, of everyone who's bought the tickets, so they're doing kind of like an automatic refund. So just keep an eye on however you paid for it, or, you know, most likely you paid either with PayPal or a credit card or something like that, because... you're not really going to pay cash. Can't do it online.
They may have an office in Seattle. We don't know.
they might have a place where you could have gone and bought tickets, and then you may be screwed. I don't know. So just keep an eye on that. But they said, you know, it should take approximately 30 days or so. So give them a little time. They wanted to make sure to refund everyone's money just in case they don't actually hold it, even though, like I said, they're hoping to just postpone it. So we'll see what happens there. But, getting away from virus news, we have something that was viral at one point. McDonald's is apparently going to be bringing back that Szechuan sauce that Rick and Morty fans love so much.
There you go.
Now, if you're not a big Rick and Morty fan, you may still have heard about this. A couple years ago, back in 2018, the show was directly responsible for the return of Szechuan sauce to McDonald's for a limited time. Because there was an episode of the series that basically poked fun at the sauce that was first introduced in conjunction with Disney's Mulan back in 98. And it basically forced McDonald's to bring it back. But the way they brought it back was so mishandled that there were basically, like, mini riots at McDonald's restaurants for this stuff. So it was not the best idea when they did this. Now, the question is how widespread this will be and how limited a time it will be. But last week, it was McDonald's New Zealand that added a photo to social media profiles of a hand coming through an obvious Rick and Morty portal. They have a certain look to them. You know what they look like. So it was a hand coming through the portal, dipping a nugget into the sauce. With no other details. So, if anything, it might be limited to New Zealand for the moment, but there is a chance that, as many fast food places do, that they're actually market testing to see if it should be returning to the U.S., which, I mean, they'd make a bundle if it does because of all the fans.
They really got market test that?
Well, and the thing is... The next season of Rick and Morty is going to be dropping soon. So it's kind of the timing is a little, you know, obvious. Now we have a sleeping Cassie.
She knows when you pull out the camera and her eyes open up.
All dogs know that. I do that with Zoe too, and she always seems to know and she looks at me. Now we had news previously about how Barry Keoghan had left the role of Yorick in Why the Last Man series.
Okay.
They have actually found a replacement, Ben Schnetzer, who's had some small roles in things like Snowden and Warcraft and a few other movies. He's supposedly playing Yorick Brown now because when Barry Keoghan left, he actually was going for a role in the Eternals, Marvel's Eternals, which is coming out this fall.
Oh, so he was upgrading technically.
Yeah, he basically really upgraded from a TV comic show to a Marvel movie. It's still on schedule so far. It was ordered series by FX in early 2019. And basically being on schedule just means that they're still doing it because once it got put on hold, then they really hadn't come back with where it was going. But the other part of this is that the rest of the original cast that had been announced is still there. Like, no one else has said they were leaving or anything like that. So we'll have to see what's going to happen and when they're going to produce this. But if you are into that comic at all, which, by the way, ended its run. So if you wanted to get into the comic and read about The Last Man on Earth, supposedly, because stuff happens. But if you wanted to read about it, go ahead and get the comic. There's plenty of it out there.
And the interesting thing is, for Cord Cutters, they announced this week, is it on your list, the Hulu news? Mm-mm. That FX officially is now part of Hulu. FX is on Hulu.
Yeah, it's not on my list because it was just
They actually have it as a separate channel. This probably will be on Hulu at least the next day after it's on TV.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cool because now it's like American History, or American Horror Story, everything else that has ever been on Hulu that we've not got a chance to see, we can actually watch now.
That's true. Right. That's true. FX and Hulu together. And in gaming movie/series news, Sony was going to be working on a The Last of Us movie. The Last of Us is a very popular video game.
Another one of the last people left on Earth.
There you go.
Wait a minute.
I have a
the
theme.
Coronavirus going. Comes out. It's taking people. Wait a minute here.
There's a theme. But The Last of Us movie has been canceled. However, HBO is going to be doing a series instead. So, the game's creator, Neil Druckmann, was on the movie as its writer and is still attached to the series. PlayStation and HBO have tapped Craig Mazin, who was the creator of the very popular Chernobyl series and director of the upcoming Borderlands movie, to actually be part as well. So, the show will notably be the first product of PlayStation Productions, a new branch of Sony created to help bring games to the TV and movie world.
Interesting.
So...
I didn't know Borderlands was going to have a movie.
Well, now you do.
You see, it sounds like at this point, this is when Netflix needs to step up. Because right now, Sony doesn't have a streaming service at the moment, technically.
Right.
Now's when Netflix needs to step in and say, hey, wait, here. Because they need something that's an actual...
HBO grabbed this first one.
I know. Yeah. So... And we don't even have an HBO Max yet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's only supposed to be a couple months.
I mean, but HBO does have its own streamer if you don't have the cable channel. So apparently, we do know that the series will follow the events of the first game, at least at first. like many other adaptations, hopefully it will veer off, because otherwise people who have played the game know what's coming and they're not going to be all that interested necessarily.
Exactly.
So there's currently no word on when it may debut, obviously, because it's just been announced, but HBO claims it's, quote, coming soon. That could be a year, it could be 2 years.
Yeah.
It depends on the CGI levels, what kind of things they need in it, but based on what I've seen of the game, it's fairly straightforward. It might not be very effects heavy anyways, right. So it could be just a more like a drama.
Yeah, I think it's more of a survival game. It's not as much an action game.
Yeah, like a drama sort of thing. So, and for those into the game itself, the sequel to the game is set to drop this May on the PS4 and PS4 only. It's not going to be available anywhere else at the moment.
Oh, I think Sony actually owns the IP for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the original got released elsewhere eventually. But that's an eventual thing. You'll get it elsewhere. But speaking of Netflix, there are going to be two animated Roald Dahl series created for Netflix coming to us from Taika Waititi, which is quite awesome. He will write, direct, and executive produce these animated series essentially based on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. One of them will be based on the world of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and the other will be an original take on Oompa Loompas that work in the factory.
Are we going to Oompa Loompa Land?
We apparently are. We're going to their background. We're going to see what happens with Oompa Loompas. And the interesting side of this, I mean, this is the only bit of the announcement was made. There's no timing, nothing like that. It's an animated series after all, so you've got the writing and the animation to take care of with this. So it's going to be a while before we see it. But the interesting part is that is who's behind this, because Taika Waititi actually doing this, handling an Oompa Loompa story when throughout all of time, since it was written, since it was made into movies, etc., everyone knows that that whole storyline is pretty much racist. And Taika Waititi is Maori, so an indigenous individual actually approaching this story and being able to tell it will be a very interesting take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cool thing is that it's like, when you're thinking of filmmakers in Hollywood, you're talking about something like Oompa Loompas, it's like, wait a minute, there's only a couple names that jump in your head. And for some reason, he's one of the names that jumps in my head. Him, Tim Burton, people like that are the only ones that jump in your head to make weird stuff.
Yes, it's just the oddity of it that, yes, he can do it right. And he's good at it. I mean, we all know Thor Ragnarok. We all know the other stuff he's done. And, you know, Jojo Bunny won an Oscar, for goodness sake. And he plays Hitler. He's actually, and because of that, actually, he's one of only, I believe, three indigenous individuals who's won an Oscar. So that's impressive in its own. So we'll see what happens with the Roald Dahl series and Charlie and all that. And it'll be interesting to see how child appropriate or adult appropriate the shows are.
I have a feeling.
You consider the potential storyline and him doing it? I mean, is it really going to be a kid's cartoon? We'll have to see what comes of that.
See, I've never read the original story of that, but was it really a kid's book or was it not as much?
Well, Roald Dahl was all kids' books.
Okay.
It really was. And it was just his take on it was not the norm. That's just it. He wrote for kids at a more intelligent level than just writing a little kid's book sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's why you get all the weird, scary, creepy stuff in it, because he was like, this is the real world. You have to know this exists. That's basically how it was. So it'll be interesting. The last thing I have is for comedy geeks, not comic book, but comedy geeks, because this made me happy, partly because of the Canadian aspect. But Kids in the Hall is coming back.
Yeah, I saw that.
So if you were around way back in the early, you know Kids in the Hall. If you don't know Kids in the Hall, go look it up, because you have to watch it. You don't know comedy unless you've watched them. That's part of, like, SCTV, Kids in the Hall, Saturday Night Live. Like, you have to know all of these things.
It is sketch comedy, Canadian sketch comedy.
Yes.
These ones really probably were, because SCTV was already gone when they came out, right?
Yes.
So these were very much SCTV and Saturday Night Live is what caused stuff like this to be able to. This is like the Canadian version of like a Mad TV.
Right.
Yeah.
And directly related to Saturday Night Live, because Lorne Michaels actually produced the original show.
Oh, okay.
In Toronto. And he is actually back as executive producer of this version.
Ah, yeah, and I heard the entire original cast is back.
He is. It's the whole original cast. They're going to do an 8-episode series for Amazon Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Dave Foley, Kevin McDonald, Bruce McCullough, Mark McKinney, and Scott Thompson. You know all these names from other things.
Yes.
Okay. From, like, Dave Foley did talk radio, and Mark McKinney's actually in, what's that called, Superstore?
Superstore,
he's
like yeah.
He's the inept manager in Superstore okay. right
yes,
now. And,
yes.
And, you know, you've seen these people elsewhere.
Well, he said Norm MacDonald, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was straight
no,
up.
No, Kevin MacDonald.
Oh, Kevin MacDonald.
Kevin MacDonald.
I'm thinking, yeah.
You're thinking the other
the other MacDonald. Which is another sketch comedy show.
Well, it's also Canadian. But no, and like Bruce McCullough is a producer. He's done a lot of TV shows. So there's, it's not like these guys disappear. Mm-hmm. But they will reprise fan favorite characters and come up with some new roles. So you're probably going to get things like McKinney's head crusher, who was up
yes!
crushing your head. Okay,
I don't even have to.
This is crush your head. It is. It's what people do all the time anyway. When you look at people and they're at a distance and you squeeze them between your fingers, it's head crusher. That was one of his characters. And there was Chicken Lady, which is like a lady who's a chicken. It's very disturbing.
Very Canadian.
Scott Thompson was fantastic as he did the Queen. He did he has this character called Buddy, who was like a flaming gay character, and some of them are just really funny, and like it is Canadian humor because it's a lot of it's satirical and a lot of it's just flat out sarcastic smartass kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go look up
but
the old stuff.
It's like Canada has I mean, people, everybody always thinks of North America entertainment from America.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like if you look at, especially in the 80s, the American comedy was very Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
Everybody you think of, if you think of comedy in the 80s, they were all guys that came out of like SCTV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I remember, didn't SCTV and Saturday Night Live have guys that would swap back and
yeah,
forth?
Yeah, they did.
Because you think of like Rick Moranis
and
all of that.
And there were Canadians
all
on
were
Saturday
Canadian.
Night Live. Dan
yeah.
Aykroyd is Canadian.
Dan Aykroyd.
Everyone knows John Candy. You
uh-huh.
know, Eugene Levy.
Like,
when
guys
when I was a kid, they ran SCTV after Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
which is why I'm the way I am now.
Yeah, they were very much like sister shows almost,
yeah.
without officially being that.
And now you have plenty of Canadian shows that have crossed over. I mean, a lot of people have. There's a rabid fan base in the U.S. for Trailer Park Boys, for Letterkenny, for Schitt's Creek, which just finished its run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of fan base for Canadian
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah.
I mean these like Letterkenny is touring the U.S. now.
Yep.
The Trailer Park Boys, like when
Trailer Park Boys have toured the U.S. a few times.
They sell out every time. When I found out they were coming. The first time that their first U.S. tour, we went.
Yeah.
And I was expecting it to, maybe a few people. It was at the Agora.
It
sold
was full.
Out
it
the
was
Agora.
Full
yeah.
Of the Agora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was in college, that's when they would run, Kids in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was introduced to them there, and I was just like, hooked.
Yeah.
You know,
they're crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So it's kind of funny in an interview, a couple years ago, several of the cast members expressed interest in reuniting for another project. And they said they were excited about the idea of creating new material at a time of heightened social awareness and political upheaval. Because, of course, originally when this came out, you had a lot of political correctness going on in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
That
yeah.
makes
so
comedy
now
so,
it,
much, so easy.
Now you've got it all over again.
Yeah, when you're everybody's trying to be overly politically correct, makes comedians' job so much easier.
And there's a great quote from Scott Thompson, because he says, I think what people are waiting for is five white guys in their 50s to just tell them what to think. Right?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the main news I have, because those are the little stories you may have missed along the way.
Yeah.
With
so,
all that virus
I know
stuff.
For next week we were talking about, we're probably going to go check out Bloodshot.
Bloodshot, yeah.
Now,
yes.
Tell us about Bloodshot a little bit, guys, because I've never read it. Mm-hmm. Vicky, I mean, we're going to see it because, one, it's comic books, and two, it's Vin Diesel, and we're both fans of Vin Diesel.
Right.
I mean, I think all of us around here are fans of Vin Diesel, of some
no,
sort.
No, I'm not actually
not
a fan of Vin Diesel.
No, Don is not.
I
no.
hate seeing Vin Diesel in anything. It's one of the reasons I've never seen Fast and Furious movies with him in it.
Wow.
yes,
like the car.
Yeah,
Vicky
really
likes him for the cars.
I really don't like Vin Diesel, and yet I'm going to see Bloodshot because I like the character.
So who's
it's
Bloodshot?
Kill me. It's gonna kill me. Well, Bloodshot is a soldier. In the most basic terms, he's a mercenary. It's a little bit like a RoboCop story.
Okay.
He was killed and brought back with technology.
Okay, you got me a RoboCop. Right?
Okay, yeah. So that's the basics of it. Instead of externally seeing the pieces like you do with RoboCop, it's nanobots. Is it nanites?
Nanites. Yeah.
In his system.
Okay.
So that's what protects him. That's what kind of pretty much makes him bulletproof. It helps him to regenerate. Like if an appendage gets ripped off, it regenerates. It's like Cyborg. It regenerates.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's the whole story of it. From what I gather of the movie, it's not entirely following the comic in terms of the basic story, because the movie itself looks like, it looks like his family's been killed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then that he has to, he's basically taking revenge with his new abilities.
Yeah, but they wiped his memory, which is something that does happen in the comics.
Yeah, they did wipe his memory in the comics, just so that they could give him directions every time. It's
like every mission, they wipe his memories. But what happens is that there's residual memory, so they never get completely wiped. So like ghost memory. So what happens is, as he's going on his missions, he starts to have these memories, and he starts to come across these clues that the life he has now isn't the life that he's always had.
Yeah.
And so, and there are certain aspects of his old personality that starts to come out from, and so he's trying to figure out who he is, who he was, and... Yeah, and how.
And the nanites kind of control a lot of what he can do. So if those in control of him suspect that he's going in the wrong direction, they can change his direction.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like...
Parts of it almost sound a little like Painkiller and Black Lightning. Just the whole...
A little bit. A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, like there's...
I mean, without all the brain wipe and all that
right.
stuff.
But there is definitely a control aspect. There is a revenge aspect. Mm-hmm. There's a mission aspect where, you know, he's created as a killer. He goes out, he does his mission, he comes back. That's basically all there is to it. But as he starts remembering things, he's realizing, wait a minute, they're not telling me the truth.
This is sounding more, because RoboCop was a very similar to the way they did a brain wipe and they just said, this is your job. You go do it and you go...
And the way they approach it in the comics has been really interesting, because there are times when the nanites... almost get shorted out, and he's suddenly like just memories just blast into his head, and he suddenly remembers a whole different life. And there are other times when he's trying to protect someone and he realizes that's the wrong person to protect, and he shouldn't be doing this, and should he be killing this person, and then another face shows up and he's like, wait, that's not the face I saw before. And so there's the mix of the tech and the action and the mercenary thing. There's going to be a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
And,
sounds like there needs to be.
There does. And this is...
Now, as far as we know, this is a one-off right now, right?
Valiant.
It's Valiant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a one-off, but it's Valiant trying to start its universe.
Yeah. Have they said that yet, though, or is it just everybody's
expecting
it? They've
said that. Okay. Valiant has said they want to have a movie universe.
That's not good. Because every time someone announces that... totally bombs out.
But the thing is, though, they took their time to get here.
Yeah, right.
So there's a very good chance that Valiant is taking a page more from Marvel and knows where it's going.
Yeah.
And if you look at Valiant Comics, their comics and their characters are very good at having crossover.
Yeah.
They have a lot of crossover stories. They've had stories, because I've read Faith, which kind of goes off and on.
I've heard of Faith. I've never actually read it. I know generally
Faith is kind of just like a general superhero kind of thing. But she has had stories where she has had a lot of other characters from Valiant show up.
Yeah,
and it works really well. And it's almost like the Crisis crossover we had on the CW, where not everyone knows everyone and they have to introduce themselves, but some people do know each other, and then they're all trying to figure out.
So
how
it
to
sounds
work
like. It's similar to what DC and Marvel can do when they do it right.
Yes.
Because DC and Marvel can do crossovers like that, do it right, but they don't always get it right.
And the thing with Valiant is they don't have a lot of tights and flights superheroes.
Yeah.
They have a couple. Most of them are robotic in some way, or soldier-like in some way. Because
you have Ninjak.
You have Ninjak and you have Exo Man of War.
Well, we know Ninjak is already being developed already.
They do have online, there is a web version of, is it Ninjak Kills the Valiant Universe or something like that?
Yeah.
They actually have something that, it was almost like preliminary to them doing movies, they created this.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Valiant characters in that series if you catch it online.
And it's gotten a ton of hits on YouTube. As a matter of fact, when they announced Vin Diesel was playing Bloodshot, a certain former Power Rangers actor got all 14 kinds of salty because he felt like it should have been him, because he portrayed said character
In the web version.
In the web version, like, that's the other thing that I think is that they were smart about this because the web version got super popular. It got a lot of hits. And so much so that people who are fans of the comics are like, oh, you know, if you like this, try this out. They got the characters right. And I mean, but they're also produced by Valiant, too,
yeah,
right?
Valiant.
So Valiant... They took the country road before they decided, hey, let's go on the interstate.
I think they put that out there as a feeler. And
they're
just
did.
Like, okay, this is working well enough. We could actually do a movie.
Now, is Valiant still technically a full standalone, or are they like a subsidiary of someone else, just like all
they're
the
not
other
ones?
Okay, that also would be why they had to put out like the web version first, because you can pay for a lot less money. Because
mm-hmm.
Valiant is not the top comic company out there.
No.
They're not even, they're maybe number five of the top five.
Right.
Maybe.
So, people have heard of them, but it's not... They're doing well enough that they've stayed afloat.
They have... their main characters of Bloodshot, Ninjak, and Exo are popular enough that that's what people know them for.
Mm-hmm.
They do know... They have a lot of others. Like I said, they have Faith, they have Harbinger, they have all these other ones that you can get introduced to. But, like, I had to... I think... Our comic guy, I think, said at one point that I was the only one he ordered Faith for. Like,
yeah.
he made sure I got the book
when
it came out.
Which is interesting, because Faith made a big splash when she first hit.
Yes.
Because she's not your traditional superhero,
no,
not by looks or anything else.
Plus size, female, geeky superhero. So, like, there was a lot of meta stuff. Like, she would quote Doctor Who, like, there's no tomorrow. It was awesome. Like, that's one of the reasons I loved her.
It's one of the few superheroes you can look at and say, hey, I know this person.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this could be me. But, yeah, that's one of the reasons I loved reading it. But it was also good storylines. But yeah, Valiant's well-known enough for those three characters that people go to them when they want something
mm-hmm.
non-superhero,
yeah.
but action-y.
Right. It's very impressive that they're able to actually get a full-release movie with an A-list actor in it.
Right.
Because of the money that is involved in doing that. I mean, obviously, they pulled money from other people. The studio and other people are going to
yeah.
help them. But a company... It's awesome. You have to go see this because this is showing that the little guys can compete with the big guys on a certain level.
Right.
They're not going to make the splash of a DC or Marvel movie.
Well, you know what?
They're
going to
have
a really
good spot.
I would say... A good object lesson for this is Blade.
Because
when Blade came out, number one, nobody knew that Blade was a Marvel character. Nobody considered it a superhero movie
right.
until after
that. Well,
at
that point, Marvel, I think, was still technically in bankruptcy when they put
right.
Blade out.
Yes, right. Sir. And so...
But with Bloodshot, they're not making it, obviously, a
right.
comic book movie.
Yeah,
they're not advertising it that way. It's just an action movie with tech.
Right.
With Vin Diesel. Guy Pearce is in it, too.
Interesting thing is, they're going to run a Valiant logo in the front of it.
There's no reason. But the other thing is, though, people won't necessarily know Valiant's a comic company.
Yeah, right.
So it'll just be another production company.
And for the people who are not your traditional comic fans, this is the kind of thing that they want. Because, you know, somebody may not be into Daredevil or whatever because of tights or what have you.
Yeah.
But, you know, they like maybe they like sci-fi action. And, okay, so let's say they're into RoboCop. This might get them into the comic shop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You never know because it's not.
Well, yeah, he's
too
not.
Far
he doesn't
there.
Have. In the comics, he has a certain look. And he does have, like, he tends to go shirtless and be, like, mostly white because of his condition.
Because of the nanites
and
stuff, yeah.
And have a big red spot on his chest. Like, that's kind of, like, his look.
Yeah.
But that's what you do with characters when you first create them anyway. In the movie, they're not really going for that. So it's kind of like a jeans and t-shirt thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking at major costumes.
Most of your non-mainstream
like
comic book movies do that. They don't go into the actual comic book look right away.
Right.
No.
And, I mean, it might give it to you at some point just to satisfy the fanboys.
Right.
But, I mean, it's not going to be... It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
like, really,
matter.
In the sense of this character especially...
It doesn't matter,
yeah.
No.
It doesn't matter because that look has nothing to do with his abilities. Whereas, in some cases, some superheroes and stuff, if they fly, they'll have a cape.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But, but yeah, so that's kind of the basics of,
mm-hmm.
of Bloodshot, and you should go see it, because
okay.
really there's nothing else out right
well,
now.
Well, see, I think you've already got me for a win. One, I was interested in comic book, and I said Vin Diesel, but now all these RoboCop references, because
uh-huh.
when it was good and when it was terrible, I've still enjoyed something out of everything I've seen from RoboCop.
Right.
And there's been, and it's had the gambit. There's been some phenomenal stuff. There's been some really terrible stuff. But it's still fun every time I've seen it.
Right.
there's something that I had fun with.
Right.
So even the really bad TV series, they had a live act. Yes, there was a live action RoboCop TV series.
I remember it.
What was it, one season?
It was one season.
No, Prime Directive was the cartoon. That was another thing out of the '80s that was weird. The actual prevalence of Saturday morning cartoons based on R-rated movies.
Yeah,
we had Rambo. We had RoboCop. These were hard R-rated. Conan
was one.
These were hard R-rated movies that you don't take kids to these movies. And they had a Saturday morning cartoon.
Well, it did. You know, and I was like, but by the time you got to the third RoboCop, I think it was PG.
You could tell was more for kids. There was actually a kid main character, which really didn't act like a kid anyway, but he was a drug dealer, but he was still only like 15 or 14.
Yeah, so,
and he was shooting people, and that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, but it was fun. And even the remake movie from, 2015 or 2016, I could see the potential of it.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's not terrible as long as you're not looking for the original RoboCop.
Oh, okay.
Because the original RoboCop was a straight, and it probably would get even harder than an R rating now.
Right.
You could not have done most of the stuff they did in that movie for an R rating now.
Well, I mean, heck, even in the RoboCop video game, the one that was in arcade, like, there was like maybe a 30-second sequence where, you know, they show the guy who becomes RoboCop.
Yeah, Murphy.
Murphy is captured by the gang. They even show the part where they blew his hand off with a shotgun blast.
No. One of the best parts of that movie is the guy who falls in the toxic waste and then he gets run over by the truck.
Yeah.
That movie is very much, if anybody who's not seen the original RoboCop, think the Toxic Avenger or anything Trauma with an actual big budget.
Yeah.
But other than that, it is a Trauma B movie.
It's not.
Yeah, Ed 209 blowing away the executive.
Yeah.
And basically his chest just turned into
the hamburger.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give a heads up for not surprisingly, the movie's Bloodshot is almost 2 hours long. It's one hour 49 minutes. So be prepared for that. And it is PG-13.
Wow.
So it's not bad enough to be an R. But PG-13 goes pretty far.
Yeah.
And this one, you're not concerned about language in a movie like this anyway. If you get good action, you're going to get a lot of bloodiness.
That to me shows they're going for more of the Marvel and DC movie crowd. Mm-hmm. Because most of your mainstream comic movies have had the PG-13.
Yep.
Yeah.
They put enough violence and stuff that
feels
right, but they don't go over the top with it.
You've only had really Deadpool that needed more than that.
And the new Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey actually earned its R rating.
Yeah, so it's been very little, and it hasn't been necessary. Most people know what to expect.
Have you guys even checked out that new Picard series yet? I know Dawn's not a Star Trek fan, but
we don't have CBS.
It's fun. It feels. The characters feel like the Star Trek characters, but it's weird because it has the look and feel of the Star Trek movies because it's just, that's the way TV is now. The budgets are way over where they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the lighting and everything is totally different because I remember Next Generation, it almost felt jarring to see Star Trek Generations because all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, it has a totally different look because you're not on a TV budget.
Well, and all the other Star Trek shows, they felt like they were on a set.
Yeah, right.
They were walking around the ship. It just felt like, oh, yeah.
And in movies, the ships almost feel real.
Yeah.
Right.
They're big.
Exactly. They feel big. But, no, it's had fun. It's weird, though, because it's the first, even with Discovery and everything else, it's the first Star Trek series ever that is not about Starfleet. Mm-hmm. And Picard's in it, but he's not in Starfleet anymore.
Right.
So it's not about Starfleet. It's him going on a mission to, and it's got the Borg in it. It's a who's who of every, Hugh shows up in this.
Now
Hugh is in it. Hugh. The Borg. The Borg that they've saved.
Oh, really?
Hugh is in it.
Oh, okay.
Who else was in there that, there's some characters that are only one time in there. There's, Professor or Dr. Maddox, who is, do you remember back early in Next Generation, there was an episode that was all about whether or not Data is actually sentient on his own.
Yes,
was Dr. Maddox that wanted to go do a bunch of experiments because he's just a machine anyway.
Right.
This guy is in this.
Oh,
he actually has a major part in this movie.
Oh.
Now, I'm not going to give all the details, so I can't say anything about why is it, but right. there's all kinds of stuff that Star Trek fans are like, wait a minute, I know that person, I know that Bash. Person, I know that person. Not yet.
Yeah, you have to wonder yes. when they found out this show was coming out, if a lot of these actors who had the one or two episode gigs, they were like contacting their agents going, can I get on the show? Ask them if I can get on the show.
And it's fun, and Picard is very much, he's playing like 92 years old in this, which he's almost 80 now. Right. So
yeah, it's not that far.
But I think my favorite episode was this one we just saw this past week because Riker and Troy were on it.
Yeah,
and that was all over the internet.
Well, the cool thing is if you watch, and it is very much this is exactly where Riker would retire to because it's a cabin in the wilderness in this one planet, and it is an old log cabin. I mean, he's got all the technology built into it, but you don't see any of it. It looks like a cabin in the Alaskan woods, which is exactly where Riker would be.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's like, and they all feel, the characters all feel right, the writers got that part of it right. This actually feels a little more like Star Trek than Discovery did to me, but it's still, the problem I have with this is Gene Roddenberry's vision for Star Trek was a utopian future where almost all conflict was done. Mm-hmm. We'd already grown past that, and it's like, now they flip back into that in the years after we got done with Next Generation and all those. Right. And so there's the Romulan mentality of everything underground, underneath, and spy stuff.
Yeah,
is everywhere in the galaxy now instead of just
You know, the whole time that was going on, you had Section 13.
Yeah.
So,
but it wasn't. No. This is like everywhere. No, it's not just small sections. You would probably like the show a lot. It feels weird, but it is the best Star Trek they've done since. Because Discovery, I still have had problems. It doesn't feel like Star Trek, but this one actually is fun. So it's like, once this is totally done, you guys may need to do your, like, the 7-day trial.
I'll probably buy the series. That's what I've been doing. Yeah. So.
Did you watch Discovery?
I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
I haven't finished it yet, so.
I'm excited for the next season of Discovery. Because the first two seasons, it's like, it's weird trying to put a show filmed modern time before the original series. Because tech is not going to work. They're not going to make the tech look like it's supposed to be there.
Right.
That's like this. They've advanced. This is, 20 years after Next Generation? So, a lot of the interfaces and stuff, it's still the L-cars, but it's all holographic displays. So, they're moving stuff. But that makes sense because
you're
farther ahead from where you were.
Yeah.
But if you go into the past and you got these clear displays and stuff, and it's like, that doesn't feel right.
Well, it is. Have you gone and watched the TOS on Netflix now? Because a lot of the stuff that they've been able to modernize, it is...
Oh, they started... Okay, this is the newer version.
So it looks... So it's still a classic series, but a lot of stuff where the ship is traveling and that sort of thing, they've upgraded it. And so it's weird now.
It no longer looks like it's fake.
It was 15 or 20 years ago, I remember, they actually announced that it was the... remastered versions of the original series.
Yeah, the remastered versions are... You're sitting here, you're watching this like... You know, I remember what this looked like when I was a kid, and it looks nothing like... It outside of the tech that's on the show, obviously, being very 60s, it still looks... It looks like it could have been done last year. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
Well,
there was that.
At the... Do you know what happens at the end of this last season of Discovery, the second season? Enough that you know what's supposed to be happening for the third?
Yes.
Yeah, so they do the time jump, 900 years in the future. I'm excited for that, because then they got a chance to actually do Star Trek, exploring places that's never been done before in a totally new world that's never been done before.
Yes.
Right. That's when I think Star Trek has always been the best. Like, they had some hit and miss in Voyager, but I think Voyager had a great concept, because you were, by trying to come home, you're exploring that region.
Right.
And Star Trek... exploring shows have always been the ones people like the most. Mm-hmm. Next Generation, they were out exploring and doing missions and stuff, but they were exploring new stuff.
Right.
The original series was exploring new land. That was in the opening crawl.
Right.
It was an exploration show.
I like DS9.
Oh, I love it. DS9 is my favorite one. But I think the first season, just like all of them, was a pain to get into. They didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
They hadn't figured out the show yet. Second season, they get closer. By the time the third season comes in and they introduce the Dominion, then they're starting to, the thrusters are starting to push in the right direction.
Right.
Because then once they get to the point where they're fighting against to get into exploring the Gamma Quadrant.
Right.
Where you're in a place where they don't know what's going on and they have to deal with what's going on out there.
Right.
And it starts to work.
I've noticed it seems like it takes three seasons for pretty much most any Star Trek series. It takes, by the time you get to the third season, then, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like, Next Generation, it was, well, we were joking about this at work. It was like, once they got collars, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, now we're ready. You know, because, like, the first two seasons, they were, like, almost like bodysuits.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, all of a sudden they got collars.
When they made it a two-piece with a collar, yeah. It's kind of about to fall out of his chair.
Meant to do that.
Push me out of the bench.
So,
the other thing, though, this week, last weekend, two Sundays ago now, Doctor Who season finale.
Oh my gosh.
Fantastic.
Oh man.
Okay, first of all, it was an hour and a half long.
Hopefully it'll be on Amazon soon.
I hope so. Oh my god.
I've not seen the last two seasons both. We gotta watch them both.
This season, especially as it got to the mid to end of season, when they had all the reveals, when, you know, the Master showed up again, and you had all these other things going on, and the theme for this season, because of when the Master showed up, he revealed something to the Doctor called the Timeless Child. That gets resolved in the final episode, and oh my god. It doesn't change the mythology of Doctor Who. It adds to the mythology. Yeah. It adds to the story in ways you, like, nobody imagined.
Well, that's what good Doctor Who does.
Exactly. And the final couple episodes had Cybermen, and the Master did things like, oh my god, to Cybermen. And then, after very end of the finale, boom, Doctor's in another crisis right away for the beginning of the next season.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We don't know when that's coming just yet, but we did get a teaser for a holiday episode. They did not specify Christmas, much like last year. It was on New Year's. They did not specify Christmas or New Year's. They simply said holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves the Daleks.
I would like a Halloween show.
Well, that would kind of be inappropriate for Doctor Who, but they have so many episodes that have monsters in them, it wouldn't make any difference.
Right, yeah. Well, the cool thing with Doctor Who is, especially the modern Doctor Who, is if you watch classic Doctor Who, and how terrible some of those monsters and stuff looked, and the different aliens, but what new Doctor Who has done with those terrible monsters, without really changing much of what they look like, and still make them relevant, and make them good for
smoothing
now.
Smoothing them out, making them look like they fit in.
I mean, even the rubber suit monsters, they still use them.
When they don't
they look
have,
so much better.
Yeah, when they have a lot more than their $10 special effects budget, where they had to use bubble wrap to make it. Like, seriously, there are some episodes of the Fourth Doctor, the monsters are partly bubble wrap. Obviously, partly, but there's like their hands are bubble wrap, and you're like, oh my god, are you kidding? Like, even as a kid, I knew that was bubble wrap.
But Rabanzai, the things that were wearing their
the 3D glasses.
The 3D glasses, they were like bubble wrap. And I'm like,
well, that's like she was saying, the original series Star Trek with the styrofoam rocks.
Yeah.
the round balls were cut in half.
But the funny thing was, when you had the episode from the 13th Doctor, not this season, but her first season, when she had that kind of like Amazon conglomerate, and basically bubble wrap was explosives. That went all the way back to those bad special effects, because they used the bubble wrap as the monster.
Yeah, see, all you cosplayers and stuff out there, all the stuff that you're using, all these little things that that are normal stuff that you're changing, you're not the only one that does that.
Mm-mm. Nope, it's been done.
Yes.
It's been done. But yeah, it was such a good finale. Like, kind of, part of it was like edge of your seat kind of finale.
Yeah.
Like, some of it was like, how the hell are they getting out of here? And are they going to survive? There was a point where, like, the Doctor was in mortal danger, like, literally going to kill everything. But anyway, it was a good season finale, so we'll keep an eye on when this holiday, I keep wanting to say Christmas special, when this holiday special is coming out, and when the next season might come out. We already know Jodie Whittaker's in it. There is word that Bradley Walsh, who plays Graham, one of the companions, is leaving with the holiday episode.
Oh.
I'm hoping not being killed off.
I hope not.
They don't kill companions often.
Not often, but when they do, it's dramatic.
Yeah.
There's also been talk of one or two of the other companions, because she has three companions. So one or two of the other companions leaving temporarily, not a permanent. But for him, it sounds like it's permanent, but they haven't said, you know, obviously they're not going to say if he's going to get killed. I hope not, just because he's the old guy, he shouldn't be killed off.
Right.
I mean, but if you look at the last couple of episodes of the season, there's a couple of them that are kind of questioning why they're traveling and is it worth it and maybe I want to stay home and that kind of thing.
Actually, that's a couple of the other companions have done have gotten that similar looks before they go.
I mean, the pawns during during Matt Smith's run, the pawns had that and actually went home for a bit and he was left alone and then he came to visit them. There was an episode with those cubes.
Yes.
He came to visit them and couldn't believe that's how slow time moved when he had to spend an entire day doing something and he was like,
oh yes!
Is this how time usually moves so slowly?
It drove him up the wall!
He didn't know what to do!
This is what your lives are like.
So it'll be interesting to see when that pops up. And, okay.
I like Graham, but I kind of get it. Almost like when he was talking to his friends, you could tell he missed.
Yeah.
That.
Well, I mean, Graham became a companion. He had suffered through cancer, and he became a companion right when his wife got killed.
Yeah, Raptor.
And she got killed, and one of the other companions is his adoptive grandson because it was his wife's grandson. But that was, you know, his grandmother, Graham's wife, got killed in, was it the first episode?
First episode.
This doctor?
Yeah.
And he immediately became the companion, so it's kind of like he didn't have time to adjust to that kind of life before being thrown into this.
Yeah.
So... But, it would be understandable that an older gentleman might want to step back from all the adventuring.
But him and his grandson did get to finally bond
because of it. That's
because of it. But yeah, I couldn't imagine being, because Graham's in his late 60s, early 70s. And
he's in mid-60s, I'd say.
Yeah. Mid-60s, and he's doing action stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. that's a lot for an old guy.
Well, you guys don't have DC Universe anymore, but Harley Quinn did finally end.
Good.
And we watched the whole series, and it wasn't... By the time it got to the end, I think my knee-jerk reaction at the beginning was because it was so far more adult than anything that we'd ever seen for this character. And it still stays that way, but it actually had a pretty good story through the whole thing. And some of the characters, Ron Funches as Killer Shark, needs to be in everybody's canon. I think anytime I see Killer Shark on the comic page, I'm going to hear his voice now. He was hilarious. It was a perfect character to get, you wouldn't think of that as Killer Shark.
Nice.
But in this, he was a tech geek almost. Like, he was a, Killer Shark, one of his skills was computer hacking.
Okay.
Oh.
For this, it worked. That, and the, Clayface is a Shakespearean actor, and everything's way overdone, and it was fantastic.
I could see that as Clayface.
Yeah, well, you got,
looking for what his mode of to be this character.
Yeah, every time that you want him to imitate someone, he's like, well, here, let's do it, and he would mess up because he's going way over the top with the character he's trying to do, and get caught.
Right.
It was awesome.
And if he lose a body part, he would, lose it.
He gets to play out his own death scene at one point because he gets shot through the heart and it's Clayface.
Yeah.
So he dies and he falls and then he jumps up and scene.
To save everybody, the little mind guy grabbed him and threw him into the shredder.
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Psycho in it plays a little, pervert type dude, but he's only 3 foot. Well, it's Dr. Psycho, which is more of a Wonder Woman villain.
His ex was Giganta.
Yeah, he's got a thing. His ex was Giganta.
Oh.
At one point towards the end, Poison Ivy ends up drinking this one formula that is like a super miracle grow for plants. So she's 50 foot tall, and all of a sudden he's like, put me in your pocket.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, he sees Poison Ivy from a totally different point of view.
Wow.
This, for just a fun...
I have a type.
Yeah. He's like, everybody looks at him like, what are you doing? He's like, I got a type. That's the way it is. But no, for just a fun, off-the-wall slapstick craziness, this actually does it.
Okay.
Now, if this is actually part of the main canon, there's no. But this it ended up being a lot more fun than I expected.
Okay.
Cool. The other one you might be interested in, Kylan, I know Dawn probably hasn't played. I don't know, you might have. The 80s DC Heroes role-playing game.
I never played a DC RPG. I'm familiar with it, but I never played it.
Well, Harley's, since it's done, they've just put out episode 2 of DC All-Star Games.
Okay.
Now, Freddie Prinze Jr. has a YouTube channel called Geghead. And it's him and his buddies playing RPGs.
Okay.
Playing D&D usually. Well, they brought him in now. They're doing, it's Freddie Prinze Jr., Sam Witwer is the game master. They have Vanessa Marshall, Claire Grant, in WWE superstar Xavier Woods. Now, every time they say his name, they have to say that in front of him.
Of course they do.
But Xavier Woods...
Probably because WWE owns the name.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because his name's actually Austin Creed or something like that. But the five of them playing the DC Heroes role-playing game. And they started it out, they're calling this session, since it's five episodes, what is it, the breakfast... It's basically them playing the Breakfast Club. Because the way the game is built, it's definitely an 80s game, so they're playing it in the 80s. It's been fun so far. Vicky didn't like it as much. It's weird because I didn't know this system, but it's based on 2D10.
Okay.
And adding them together to basically do whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of... Sam has a bunch of tables and stuff he's got to do to actually get your difficulties and everything else.
Right.
So it's a fun game to check out so far for you guys. And they're 22 minutes each. It's been, like I said, it's been fun so far. The fact that it is in the DC universe, these characters are not all exactly what they are supposed to be.
Right.
So as the game goes on, now they've not shown the audience, but like Claire Grant's the first character that is like, they were doing something, and they're all playing high school kids. And then they're like, okay, everybody take a break, and he shows, here's your real character. Now, we don't know what that is, but she sees, okay, this is who she actually is supposed to be. Last one, they did that with Xavier Woods. They said, here, here's what you're actually supposed to be. So it's going to be cool to see how those come in. Like, Claire, I think I figured out already she's going to be Catwoman. Because in the second episode, she actually does something where she pulls out a bullwhip and helps someone pick up or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or get up onto a ledge. So, but that it's been fun because these are actually all people that actually play role-playing games also.
Right.
Because Xavier Woods, if anybody doesn't know, he's a huge video game player, but he plays D&D and stuff also.
Right.
He's actually got his own YouTube channel called Up, Up, Down, Down. Where it's actually wrestlers fighting against each other in different video games. It's a video game play show.
Okay.
You might like that one, Kylan. Up, Up, Down, Down.
Up, Up, Down, Down. Okay.
Xavier, that's his channel, and usually it's backstage at different shows, because that's what they... Back in the day, wrestlers played cards when they were in the locker room. Now they bring out and play Switch or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
They've upgraded it. So that's what I've been checking out.
And speaking of role-play games, the Marvel United Kickstarter finished this past week.
Okay.
Yes.
Kylan and I pledged it, it's $60. It was $60 for the game.
Okay. Is it a straight paper and pencil role-play game, or?
No, it's cards and figures.
Oh, okay.
And by the time they finished, because they kept adding... to the stretch goals, every time they reached a stretch goal, it was a new minifig you got with it, a new figure. And by the time they finished, if you include, I think you get 6 with the game anyway, if you include all the stretch goal figures that came out, there's like 50 or 52 figures you're getting with this game. And that's the basic game. You can pay extra to get expansions that have... things like the Gauntlet, or that have Asgard or Black Panther expansions. Like, there's certain expansions you can get for a little more money. But yeah, like 50-something figures just for the base game. And they ended up with 21,290 pledges, and they made $2,866,000.
Wow.
Out of a $150,000 goal. So, not surprisingly, it was very popular. The last couple of hours of it, they blew past, I think, 4 stretch goals. I think they had to keep coming up with characters to add to the stretch goals because they kept passing them. and like, 'cause I think the last one was supposed to be... The last one was supposed to be Spider-Woman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they had to add Quicksilver, and then they had to add someone else, and then they just had to keep adding people. So, yeah, so it's going to be probably about a year before the game actually shows up. But when it does, I'll be very busy painting a lot of figures. Because that's what I told Kylan. I said, if we pledge this, because of all the figures, I'm willing to paint them. Because that's not something he has the ability to do.
He's a painter for us.
I've done fine painting on different things, so I can do it. But yeah, so that'll be me busy for like a year. So it'll arrive in a year, and then he can't play it for a year later until I finish all the painting.
Well, let's stay on the Kickstarter level, because our friend Seth Breedlove's Kickstarter just finished the day after Andy's. We'll get to Andy's in a minute.
Right.
But they finished... and it's awesome. He asked for $55,000. This was to fund On the Trail of UFOs, The Mothman Legacy, and The Mark of the Bell Witch. He actually finished at $71,933.
Nice.
So which is awesome.
Movie.
Yeah, with 496 backers.
So he's going to do another movie.
Yeah, and the stretch goal was if he hit 70,000, they would do a fourth film, and they're doing On the Trail of the Lake Michigan Mothman, or Lake Michigan Monster, which is the Lake Michigan Mothman.
Right.
So they're going to do a fourth movie this year.
Cool.
So that's awesome, and I know one of the ones he's doing next year, he wants to do a season two of the On the Trail of Bigfoot. So we're going to be, but that's off into the future. So that's doing awesome. Congratulations, Seth. I mean, that blows out. That's what, 20,000 or 21,000 more than last year's?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So, and every year it gets a little bit bigger and he's able to do even better movies.
Yep.
So, and then the other one from our friends and things was the Con of the Cob Kickstarter just finished.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can bring it up.
Yeah, we're just shy at that 7.
Yeah, I got to bring it up on the so I can see what the numbers are.
Because he asked for 7 and just got shy of, or he asked for 500, got just shy of 7, I think.
Yeah,
it was so something.
He got a bunch of the and with the Kickstarter, I guess we're getting MC Lars is going to be at Con of the Cob this year.
Yeah,
And if you look, go to Con of the Cob's website, there is a list of like 30 or 40 guests that are on the list.
Yeah. Yes, there's it's expanded this year, which is going to make for a very crowded hotel.
Yeah, it's
going
to be interesting to see where everything fits.
But there's an entire essential track of nerdcore. There's a lot of performers that are specific to nerdcore this year, and
I don't know where he's going to get the stage space.
Andy wanted to make sure he got MC Lars, and so that was part of the Kickstarter. He was going to kind of get him anyway, but he wanted the Kickstarter to try and get it for free for everybody. Because I think at this point,
right now you have to buy tickets for
that
show.
I think because he didn't quite reach the goal he wanted to with the Kickstarter. It's not entirely free, but I think it's only $10 or something.
Yeah,
because of the
size of the room, I know it's a limited amount of tickets.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's like if you get a chance now, the Kickstarter backers, I believe, got first dibs on the tickets.
First dibs. Yeah,
but after that, it's like. And when they're available, these tickets are going to go quick.
And not everyone...
Because it's limited to like 100 or 120
tickets. Not everyone bid on the Kickstarter based on that show.
Yeah.
So, you know, you won't necessarily have to worry about the tickets being gone right away.
So,
he's going to have to open up and do both rooms for that show.
Probably.
Yeah, sure.
So we got... but actually, that's a good... That's the end of our Kickstarter. Our Kickstarter friends are doing awesome.
Yep.
Everybody made funded.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and there's more Kickstarters coming. I know... Rob Turk, I think, had another one still coming. Did he ever get the Girl Scouts up and running?
I don't think that one was back again yet.
I know he was still working on reworking that one.
But we
have other friends that are having Kickstarters coming up, too. We'll let you know.
If you are local and you want to get dressed up and do something, this is a heads up way ahead of time. Memorial Day weekend, Andy likes to have the oddballs in the parade here in Green. He's always looking for people doing cosplay, wanting to put their funky cool cars in the parade. Whatever you want to do, just look it up on the Oddmall page or on Andy's page. Most of his stuff is public. Look up Andy Hop on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to basically get people together again for the parade. So check that out.
And he's also looking for float.
Yeah, he wants to try and make an actual float. So if you have those skills, or know someone who does.
Because if people have seen the Green Memorial Day Parade, they don't have many floats in it.
No, it's mostly people walking and some cars. So it's just a local parade. It's not a huge thing, but Andy wants to make it a big deal, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. So do we have anything else before we wrap this up today?
I have nothing.
I think we've done pretty good. It's another catch-up show, but that's...
Go see Bloodshot.
Stuff is changing, guys.
We're going to talk about Bloodshot next time, so you got to go see it.
Yep. So, Geeksters, do you have any comments on what we're talking about? Miss Dawn wants to read your emails. She wants to talk to you.
I don't get emails from anybody.
That's right. So send her some emails or get a hold of her through the Facebook pages. You can, but everywhere, you can get all the information about GeekWatch 1 at www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media, you can get a hold of her at GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar, don't find us, let us know, and Miss Dawn will take care of that problem.
I have my own band of mercenaries.
That's right. Also, you can email her at geekwatch1@gmail.com. She loves emails. And we may even let, if you want, we'll even talk about you on air.
We will.
We actually met a new friend tonight. Chris was his name? Chris was here before you guys got here today at the Outpost and said hi and was talking to us there. So, Chris, I know you were checking out the show. So, good
to see you. Yes, wait till the very end to get a shout out.
That's right. But I told you I'd give you a shout out. And if you find us at the Outpost, we'll talk about you on air.
Good or bad, we'll talk about you.
That's right. So we're also members of the Tangibound and Weebie Geeks Networks at TangiboundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. And so for Miss Dawn and Kylan, Vicky, Cassie, and myself, and the rest of the Outpost, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are. We'll be right back.